Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Robbie and Rex Road with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex Road on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, the great and powerful Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, what's going on? How are we doing?
So is that like the Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, that's the reference I was making.
I got your reference.
Yeah. I don't understand that. I've seen the movie, but it's been very, very long time ago.
Yeah, the great and powerful Oz.
You're behind the curtain. Pulling the strings.
I get it.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Glad somebody gets it. We got a loaded show for you here today. We got a lot to get into with the Nashville Predators. That was quite the game last night. We'll talk about that more here in just a couple of minutes. John Hines, Predators head coach, joining us at 7:30. Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst, at 9:30. Taking your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, that was quite the game last night between the Predators and the Blackhawks. Honestly, through the first 45 minutes, 50 minutes of that game, I thought that was one of the best games I'd seen the Predators play all season long. I mean, they were fantastic. They scored 4 goals. They probably could have literally had 9 or 10 goals with the way they were playing and the quality looks they were getting, and you felt like, okay, I mean, they have totally owned Chicago all season long. You're 6-0. You're up 4-1. This is just a horrible matchup for the Blackhawks, and the Predators are in total control. And then in about a 3-minute stretch, the wheels just totally fall apart. There's a misread in coverage, and Patrick Kane makes an unbelievable pass to set up the goal to make it 4-2. And then it's just like the Predators totally fell apart after that. Turnovers, not taking care of the puck, not picking up people coming into the offensive zone. For the Blackhawks, defensively, I mean, it was just mistake after mistake after mistake. And all of a sudden, it's 4-4. You go to overtime, and Brandon Hagel wins it for the Hawks in overtime. I know you get a point out of it, and I think some people are going to maybe overreact to that a little bit today because, you know, I did say coming into the week, if you can find a way to get 5 out of 6 points against the Blackhawks, you're probably still in pretty good shape, and they still have the opportunity to do that coming up on Friday. But considering that you're up 4-1 in the third period and you had totally dominated that game, that is a rough, rough loss for the Nashville Predators last night.
Yeah, you lost a point. I mean, really, that's what it – to me, that's what it is. You had 2 in your pocket and you lost 1.
Yep.
So they can come back Friday. Friday's big, you know. That's one of my first thoughts is how they respond to this is big because – I'm trying to think of the last, and right now, if anybody's watching us, we're watching the highlights on the wall. So, and I've watched this meltdown several times now. But you know, I'm trying to remember the last loss they've had that was like this. I mean, they had a couple last season. Is it Vancouver? Does that one come to mind?
Yeah,
yeah. You know, somewhere that just completely just collapses on them. I don't know. Maybe I'm forgetting something from this year, but it's been a long time. And obviously, during this whole stretch of winning, you know, they just haven't had stretches like that. I mean, those primo chances they gave up in about 3 minutes, I'd say they have gone multiple games maybe without giving up. I mean, you know, they've obviously Soros makes saves, they give up, but you're talking about just completely losing people. And completely losing people at the time of the game when you would think if there's ever a time you're going to be defensively responsible, it would be then.
Well, and losing people from guys that you shouldn't be losing people from. I mean, Eric Hall has been in the league for a long time. You got to pick some guys up. Roman Josi kind of leaving the play on a play as well. I mean, Ryan Ellis, I mean, just an absolutely awful turnover behind the net that set up that 4th goal by the Blackhawks. I mean, you're talking about some veteran guys that have played a lot of hockey that are just making awful mistakes and coming, you know, in a 3-minute stretch there, and it's just happening one after one after one. It was like an avalanche where Chicago just kept coming after you. So, I mean, you have to give credit to the Blackhawks. I mean, they stuck with it, and they played well. I mean, the play by Patrick Kane, I mean, it's just an unbelievable pass there. So sometimes you do have to tip your cap to the opponent.
Although that's still hollow, though.
Yeah, know? but this was self-inflicted from the Predators, and it came at the worst time. I mean, you had this game totally wrapped up, 2 points in the bag on the road, and to only get 1 point out of that when you're up 4-1 in the third period, that's hard to sit with today. That feels like one of those games that you could look back on at the end of this season and say, man, if you could just hold on in Chicago, what could your season have looked like?
Especially if this carries over into tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I mean, if they bounce back and win, to your point, you got 5 out of 6 this week. I mean, that's about as good as you can hope for outside of the 6-for-6, obviously. But, yeah. I mean, if they lose tomorrow night, then, especially in regulation,
yeah,
then that is probably going to be the turning point loss for the playoff picture.
I mean, they're up 3 now on Chicago. They, you know, so that's a absolute saver for Chicago.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
their season was over if they lose that game in regulation last night. Especially when you factor in their schedule. Like, I mean,
right,
they've got a tough schedule coming down.
That's the thing. It's not even the Preds compared to how the Preds have been playing. That's dramatic. But think about against Chicago. I mean, watching Chicago 5-on-5 try to create offense against the Preds, I mean, talk about squeezing blood out of a rock.
Yeah.
They just have had nothing. It's been completely stagnant. They've been completely stifled. And then it's like, here's 3 goals all of a sudden. I mean, it's like, yeah, they like doubled their season total in 3 minutes. Pretty amazing. It's kind of, I suppose it's also the game, because things like that can happen so fast, yeah, in this game. But for it to happen over and over and over again in that stretch is amazing.
Joe, you asked whether or not this has happened this year. They blew the lead in Dallas earlier this year.
Yeah.
They're up like 3-0 or 4-1. They were up by 3 in the third period. The lead dissolves, but then they win it in a shootout.
That's the game Yossi got knocked out. Yeah. So, okay.
And that's the thing. If they would have just, you know, if they win last night, get the 2 points, the 1 point for Chicago is not
really
a big
matter.
Deal.
Right. Yeah, like,
right.
You know? So,
I mean, even still, after you lose the game to Chicago, Chicago's, if I'm a Predators fan, they're not the team I'm worried about. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say Chicago's done, but I don't really consider Chicago to be that big of a threat as they come down the stretch here.
They're not very good.
The threat is Dallas. I mean, now you got an opportunity last night to get up 3 points on Dallas, albeit they would have 3 games in hand. But it may sound like a small difference, but there is pretty big difference from only being 2 points up with 3 games in hand and 3. And I know you've got one more head-to-head matchup with them, and they've got 2 against Tampa coming up. They've got 2 against Carolina coming up. But that was a tough point to let slide last night for the Nashville Predators. And it all basically happened in a 3-minute stretch. And John Hines, Predators head coach, was asked about that stretch last night after the game. What happened? How did the Predators allow that to happen? Here's what Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
Something coming into the game, even going back to the last game against Chicago, was our net front defense. And something that we really addressed and harped on here for a bit. And, you know, going into the third period, we knew it was going to be something we had to be real strong at. So, you know, the first one was, you know, we get beat at the net front. They get the backside tap in on that one. The next one, we were, you know, loose play at the offensive blue line. And then, you know, through the neutral zone, they're a very good rush team. So we didn't get on top over the middle of the player coming through. And then they wind up with a really good play off the rush, which was, you know, which was on us. You know, they're a good rush team. They get time and space. They're going to be able to make plays. We weren't stiff enough in that area with the structure or the commitment that, you know, we need to play with in that area. And then again, if you look at the tying goal, you know, it's a breakdown, it's a wall play, and a puck gets bumped back, and, you know, we circle high instead of stopping and making sure we take care of the slot. So, you know, unfortunately tonight, a couple of the areas that we knew we had to be strong in and had a plan going in the third of a heavy emphasis, you know, we got exposed in it, and that was the difference of them coming back in the game.
Yeah, and I agree with what John Hines had to say there. The last goal, the one to tie it 4-4, that's the one that bothers me the most, like just looking at it. Number one, you got the turnover from Ellis. I mean, you've got to see that they're coming down to the wall at you on that play. You've got to get that puck out and go high off the wall with that and try to get it around to Ekholm, and it just gets picked off behind the net. But then you go back and look at it, and both Halla and Duchesne are like drifting over towards the corner, and the middle of the slot's just wide open. You're looking around like, hey, one of you are going to have to take it. Now, it should be the center there, so I don't know what Eric Hall is doing on that play. But one of you going to have to take the middle away from the Blackhawks, and it was just wide open. I mean, Kubalik could not have been more wide open on that play. So, I mean, it was just a comedy of errors coming down the stretch there for the Predators.
And that line, again, we talked about the first of the three was Hall up getting beat. Like you said, Patrick Kane, great pass. And that play, Josi, I think, blocked a shot. And
he was hobbling.
Stumbling. Yeah. So, you know, it was a little bit of a broken play. But that line's on there for two of them. I think Ekholm's on the ice for a couple of them. You're just so surprised to see something like that. And obviously, even before the tying goal, Hines takes a timeout.
Yep.
Talk to his team, say, hey, it almost was like it was 4-1, and it was almost like they were being maybe a little bit too aggressive trying to get another goal. Like it was almost like pad the stats time. You know, I mean, they had a lot of great chances. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with, like, you know, trying to score when you're in the offensive zone. I mean, they were just dominating the game. Like you said, they had had a lot of good chances last night. Subban was really good. I mean, Subban was great, and he still gave up 4 goals.
That's the thing. Like, you look at the box score, and you think, all right, well, Chicago's goaltender didn't have it. Subban was awesome in that game. Gave up 4 goals. I mean, I think we exaggerate sometimes. Literally, Predators could have scored 9 goals in that game last night. They were getting quality looks from everywhere, defensemen, forwards. I mean, Roman Josi had, like, 19 chances from the slot last night. It was unbelievable the way he was playing. And because I picked him in Preds Pick to Click, of course he didn't score. But he did have a lot of good looks there coming from the slot. When you get the buzzer beater essentially by Granlund to end the third period, I mean, the play by Colton Sissons, there was a lot of really good plays, a lot of really good hockey from the Predators in this game, and it just totally got away from him there to end that third period and to go into overtime as well. Let's go to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, the worst part about it for me is even with missing the playoffs, an 8-0 sweep of the Hawks would have made it a nice consolation. And you were right on the doorstep of it. I mean, you were up 4-1. That would have given you 7 against the Hawks. Look, I'm not saying the Hawks would have folded it in or anything like that, but all of a sudden, I think that's a demoralizing win for the Predators last night. If for the Chicago, if you finish that off and you're 0-7 against the Predators, and you would have been, you know, you got Dallas coming down the stretch. The Predators, I think, would have been up 6 on the Hawks at that point. And if you're the Hawks, you're realistically looking at it like, all right, we've got a really tough climb back into this thing now. Now you've given them life. Like, I still don't consider the Hawks, you know, that big of a threat when it comes to the playoffs. I still think Dallas is the team I'd be really worried about if I'm a Predators fan. But that was a season saver for the Hawks last night. They're at least still in this thing, where you had the opportunity to essentially shut the door on them last night.
Yeah, no, they're still in it. But I agree, Dallas is the biggest threat. And, Preds fans, you get to root for the Red Wings again tonight.
Yes.
Two more against the Red Wings for Dallas. But it does get a lot harder for them. You got to keep that in mind. They've got a lot of tough games. And that one game here, I suspect, will be a pretty big one. Dallas at Nashville.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How demoralizing was that loss for the Predators last night? What does it mean for their playoff chances as they move forward here? We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Inestroza through center across the Nashville line. Works in against Howla. Now Hagel. Hagel with a shot. He scored. Hagel scores into overtime, and the Blackhawks win this game. Hagel scores at 4 minutes of the overtime period.
Devastating loss for the Preds.
We had a stretch in the third period where, you know, it looks as though we let our foot off the gas a little bit, and that's something that you can't do against any team. And I think you got to take the point out of it. You got to take the lessons from, you know, why we gave up the lead the way that we did. And I think there's a lot of good things in the game that you come back to.
A tough 5-4 loss in overtime for the Predators last night against the Chicago Blackhawks. After being up 4-1 in the third period, they let it slip away. The Blackhawks come back and get 2 points, and the Predators leave a point on the table last night at United Center. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian from Indy texts in, says, "It's my fault. I ordered my Robbie's Vibin' t-shirt a day early, or it's Stillman's fault, one of the two."
I'm glad you brought up the shirt, Brian. You know, I'm a little bit conflicted here. After a game like this, I feel like there should be some fun made of Vibin', but I don't, like, I feel like
I respond.
But I want everyone to have Robbie's face on their chests around Nashville.
So who wouldn't?
I want to, you know, come up with some puns, but I don't want to hurt you, man. So, you know, you tell me how to proceed.
They're still vibing.
They're still vibing. Okay.
They've won 14 out of 20.
Yeah.
They're still vibing.
That's a vibe.
You come back and you win Friday, you're still vibing.
Yeah.
You don't have to win every game to remain vibing.
If they lose Friday, though, and then, I need to come up with some other words that rhyme with vibing.
Yeah.
Because I keep going with imbibing.
Yeah.
Like last night, Jim Diamond, you know, of course, blamed you.
Of course.
Which is natural. I mean, you are now. You get your face on a shirt, you know, and it's a different level of accountability.
Yeah, you're,
man,
a target of a lot of criticism.
That's right. So I don't know, but I haven't really come up with a lot of good words for it. I mean, I can make fun of, like, they put it on a banner and stuff like that, but, yeah, you know. I did, by the way, Thomas Willis, though. I mean, there was a lot of tweets. We'll get into some of the tweets that took place before the meltdown.
Yeah.
But he had a tweet of, I don't know, someone from the Blackhawks like this, like, Blackhawks 10 days ago or a month ago, you know, the Preds are 10 points behind us. And, man, then that happened. But good for him leaving it up. He left it up.
I thought about a tweet that I didn't put out, and I'm glad I didn't put it out.
Okay. Really? Well, go ahead and tell us.
It was going to be something along the lines of they should rename the Blackhawks arena.
Arena. The arena.
The UC. But UC Saros' name.
Yeah, that's good.
The UC arena. Yes. That would actually
combine
be
combine both of them.
That would be fitting. Yeah. So, speaking of the goalie thing, my God, this is where some of the reaction. Oh, like, guys, this was not Saros getting tired, or this was not, oh, you should have played Pekka. Dude, please.
It's 4-1 with 9 minutes left in the third period, and then they just decided to stop playing defense. That's basically what happened.
Like, okay, so, like, Jay Levin is a friend, good guy. He certainly knows his hockey. He's a Michigan guy. He's telling me on Twitter here about how, like, you know, you got to mix it up. Other teams know your goalie and stuff. No. The guy is playing the best goaltender in the entire freaking league. Now, so last night there were a few things that happened with Saros. One, he trips on a puck early, which apparently
that
is a bad
omen. That could have been an omen.
Two, late in the game, I think it was the third period, maybe it was the second period, but, you know, NBC Sports, so it's a national game. It's a good game. They're playing really well, and they put up the graphic of Saros and his Vezina candidacy, and those numbers are pretty compelling.
Yeah.
And now you can, I mean, like, never mind. I mean, it's not his fault, but, like, yeah, I mean, but it was already a long, like, you'd have to, right? Like, you would have to be just ridiculous all the way, and he still could be from here, but then that happens, and it's like, okay. Like, the numbers?
Yeah.
This is the first bad numbers game for Saros since when?
Oh, it's been a while. I mean, I think I'd heard a stat coming into this game last night. He'd given up 2 goals or less in 18 out of his last 20 games. It's pretty ridiculous.
He had a 970 save percentage against Chicago this season.
970.
What is it now?
It's not 970.
No.
Yeah. But again, like sometimes, you know, the whole thing of is it the goalie's fault or not? I think sometimes it can shade, certainly for the teams. Like, you ask a team, and it's never the goalie's fault. I mean, they're going to have the worst goalie in the world. Just give up soft goals left, right. Oh, right. We got to play better. Okay, so don't listen to the team.
No.
Don't listen to the team about
annoying.
It. They're always going to say that. Right. They're always going to say the goalie is never at fault. It's always us. But watch the goals. Again, you're talking about, I mean, we talked about the first segment, but you're talking about just complete breakdowns. And, I mean, the last one, I mean, Saros has no idea where the puck is, and all of a sudden it's in the back of the net.
Yeah.
There's a guy alone in the slot. That's it. You're done. This was not about Saros getting tired, or you should have given him like again, like Jay's out here like, well, the book on it is go high. You know, you got to change. Yeah, that's always the book on it. That's always the book on Soros. And they tried that all game, and they had one goal in 30-plus minutes or in 50-plus minutes of hockey. It's just So then we get into – I got people tweeting at me about Hines. Well, this is on Hines. You got to give a goaltender rest. You can't just keep trotting a goaltender. This was not about him getting tired. He was sitting there like, oh, thanks, guys. He got totally hung out to dry. It wasn't him that got tired. Well, maybe the rest of the team.
I go back and look at the fourth goal, and immediately afterwards, I mean, Ryan Ellis is skating up to UC Soros and is tapping him on the chest like, hey, yeah, sorry for turning that puck over behind the net and no one being in front of the net. I mean, I'll answer it this way. I'm giving zero consideration to putting Pekka in net Friday. Zero.
I'm with you.
I'm going back to Soros. I don't even know how this is really a conversation.
But you do.
Well.
Because it's kind of like football. I always make the goalie-quarterback comparison. It's always the quarterback's fault, always the quarterback's credit, too much blame. If the puck goes into the net, there are some people that are just going to be like, oh, that goalie. What's wrong with that goalie? No, watch the plays. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even think about it either. And John Hines won't think about it.
No.
Maybe he'll tell us this later on the show.
Maybe so. Maybe at 7:30 we'll ask
him. There's got to be a crafty way to ask him.
Hey, is Soros going to play tomorrow?
Not that. There's got to be a better way.
Maybe that's what we could ask at that point.
Ask him if he's vibing, though.
Yeah, I could do that. He's probably not vibing.
I dare you. I'll give you $10 if you ask him if he's vibing. I'll give you $20.
Probably need to go up a little higher than that.
40?
Maybe. Now we're talking.
Let's get a pot going.
Yeah.
On the text line.
Yes, thank you. How much to ask John Hines if he's vibing? No, I agree. I mean, look, Soros, it was, again, one of those situations where, you know, he made a couple of big saves in the first two periods to settle things down whenever the Blackhawks, you know, got some momentum and got the puck. But it was, again, kind of turning into one of those games where you look at the numbers, it looks really good for Soros, but he didn't have to do all that much. Like, I thought the Predators did a good job, for the most part, of hanging on to the puck. I mean, towards the end of the second period, you know, when Sissons breaks out and scores that goal, Granlund hits the buzzer beater, the Predators were dominating that game. I mean, the shift or two before Sissons' goal to go up 2-1, they had, like, 9 chances. I mean, it was 2 minutes of just sustained zone time. The fourth line was bringing pressure. Duchesne's line was bringing pressure. I mean, they had some good looks. And Malcolm Subban did just about as much as you can ask a goaltender to do up until that Sissons goal, where Connor Murphy, for some reason, after Colton Sissons obviously played the puck with a high stick, just said, you know what, I'll touch this, and just send Sissons on a breakaway there. But I thought it was turning into one of those games where the stat line looks great for Soros, but didn't have to do a whole lot. And then it went completely the opposite direction where he was just on an island out there, which I'm still kind of amazed at what we saw last night and just how steep that drop-off was, not only in terms of execution, but just of knowing where to be if you're the Predators. Like, it's like they just had a total brain fart.
And that is so unlike how they've played in the last 5 weeks.
Yeah. Right. Like, you'll get one of the – of course, you're always going to make some mistakes. You make a ton of mistakes in a hockey game. Here and there, you're going to have one of those. And Soros is going to – and look, he's made a lot of saves on some plays like that. But it's been few and far between. And when you think about condensing 3 in a row like that, it's amazing. You know, another thing that gets lost in this is the meltdown continued with Arvidsson after the tying goal.
Yep.
And actually, that was an incredible kill. I mean, that was a – you know, you got 4 minutes, and you thought maybe that kind of swings the momentum back to them, but no. 3-on-3, you know, anything can happen.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trey text in, do you think Hines should have pulled Soros not because he was bad, but because it's a chance to halt the momentum swing and wake the team up a little bit? We do see coaches do that sometimes where, you know, they'll give up a couple in a row in like the first period, and they'll come back and change the goalie. And you'll ask them about it after the game and say, yeah, it had nothing to do with the goalie. I was trying to wake the team up, which I do think there's validity to that sometimes. That's tougher, I think, to pull off in the third period.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Someone else came at me with that, the question, and I get it. Like, three in a row, doesn't have to be the goaltender's fault to make a change.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's not. It's just like, it's let's change everything up here. But at that point in the game, you're going to say, hey, Pekka, here you go. You got a couple minutes of this, and then how about some three-on-three for you? You know, you're going with Saros. Again, like, it was just so fast.
Yeah, and you still had some chances toward the end. Like, they killed the penalty, which was, I mean, it was a great penalty kill. I mean, Chicago got nothing on that power play for 4 minutes, and you had a couple of chances coming down the other way after where I thought, man, they could still win this game in regulation after all this.
I think did Duchesne have a lost the puck.
They had some chances late, and then just couldn't get it done in overtime. That's the one goal where I think Saros kind of came off the post a little bit there in overtime and gave him some room high. That's probably like if I'm sifting through these goals, and the one I've got an issue with Saros is probably the overtime goal.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
you hope he can stop it. He's got a clean look at it. They went high. It was a very good shot, but you hope he can stop that one.
We'll continue the discussion on the Predators when we come back. Taking to your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How did this happen last night? Who gets the most blame for this collapse last night for the Predators? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate Giveaway, a Dos Equis prize pack including a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. We'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the loss for the Predators last night. They're up 4-1 in the third period, and then all of a sudden that lead is gone. It's 4-4, and you lose 5-4 in overtime. You get the point, but when you're up 4-1 in the third period, especially in games this late in the season, you got to close that out. So that's a tough one for the Predators last night to get over. Now the question is, how did it happen? Like, how did they get to this point last night where you're up 4-1, you're in complete control of the game? Like I said earlier, I think they're playing one of the best games I've seen them play all year in terms of the quality chances they're generating. They're not giving up much on the other end. They look explosive. They look fast. They're making great decisions with the puck. Like that, the goal that Luke Cunnan scored to give them a 4-1 lead, and Eddie Olczyk kind of broke this down on the broadcast as well. You've got players from both teams kind of heading off the ice for a line change. And Josi peels off, goes to the blue line, takes the puck, comes in, attacking into the zone, holds up, backhand pass, tape to Granlund. He stops, tape to take to Cunnan. It was like a slam dunk for Luke Cunnan. I mean, it's just a beautiful play.
It's clinical.
I mean, it's like you're executing at the highest level I've seen them execute it in a long time, and then it just totally goes the other way. You look at the goals that Chicago scored in the third period, and you try to break them down individually. Like the second one, Josi blocks a shot. He's hobbled around out there. There's a lot of time and space for Patrick Kane. Josi does his best to, like, close the gap after that, but he gets there too late. And then, you know, Halla's not, you know, taking away the pass behind the net, so it's 4-2. 4-3, they're coming in on the rush, and I've gone back and watched the goal to make it 4-3. I think Hinostroza was the goal scorer on that one. And Doc's coming into the zone too. And like Ellis and Ekholm are both going for Hinostroza. Doc's left wide open. He's got all this room to operate. And then all of a sudden it's a tic-tac-toe play the other way. Just a defensive breakdown coming into the zone. And then we've talked about the fourth goal. There's a turnover by Ellis behind the net. Nobody's in front. Both Duchesne and Halla are drifting off to the side. Nobody's in front of the slot. I mean, these are veteran players that are just leaving people wide open or making the wrong decisions or making the wrong reads that leads to these goals last night for the Blackhawks. As you look at it, Joe, who gets the most blame for this? How do you go about assessing what happened to the Predators to allow them to get to this point last night?
Okay, well, we've established that I give almost none to Saros. I like you said,
right?
You hope he stops the point blank really good shot in overtime, but he didn't. Other than that, I don't blame him, and I don't blame Hines for playing him. That's just that's people reaching for stuff. I mean, can we blame Stillman?
Good.
Vingan told me that I needed to spend 4 hours skewering Stillman for his Dewey defeats Truman tweet.
He was the target of quite a few tweets last night after this game fell apart.
Now, am I right that Jeremy K. Gover also apologized? Like, he also had, like, I saw some apologies. Like, this is
Stillman
my fault.
And Gover were not the only ones.
Oh, it was a lot.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Stillman's going to be the target. And I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong.
Stillman's tweet was, quote, "This one is over, but let's not get too cocky. The Preds got to have Friday night, too. The good news, these two Preds wins are the best two versus Chicago this season." That comes he's at already 8:05 p.m. last
he's
night.
He's already, like, putting analysis on it.
Yeah. And then 20 minutes later, he said, "My bad."
Yeah. The Predators' official account tweeted him and said, "Blocked." Got a lot of reactions.
Oh, did they? I missed that.
Yeah.
Well done. Yeah, so there was plenty of that.
I mean, a lot of people thought that game was over after it was 4-1.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I absolutely
look, if you're watching that
thing.
Game and you didn't think it was over, you're lying.
Also, if you are like 1,000% serious in blaming Stillman, like, jinxes do not exist.
Yeah,
so
I mean, come on.
Stop.
Now, what about the puck, though?
The omen where Saros is coming out for warm-ups, yeah, and all of a sudden he just hits the deck after stepping on a puck.
Joe, you'll remember this. In game one of the Stanley Cup final between the Red Wings and the Penguins, Marc-Andre Fleury tripped out of the locker room going onto the ice for either warm-ups or the game itself.
Yeah.
And from there on, the Penguins just looked horrible.
That would have been 08.
Yeah, because they won in 09.
Because in 09.
Oh, wait, right, right.
They won game seven in Detroit in 09. Yeah.
Right. And they could not stop showing Fleury tripping, going from the bench to the ice. Yeah.
Is Saros going to have another save this season?
I don't know.
Will he ever save another puck?
We'll find out. Do you have to trip on, like, the other side to reverse the curse? Is that what it takes?
I don't know.
Let's go trip
Kill
again.
A chicken, something.
Maybe the Preds player should knock the pucks towards Lankinen or Subban to start warm-ups on Friday night.
A little sabotage.
Yeah.
See what could happen there. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wayne from Spring Hill text in, 5% of the blame goes to the team, 95% of the blame goes to Stillman. That's what happened. All right.
Okay.
There you go.
I'll read some off the text line. Kristen, you didn't read this, did you?
I did not.
The veterans let the team down. Unbelievable loss.
Yeah.
There were veterans involved in these mistakes, for sure. Like, you know,
a lot of veterans involved.
Yeah, a lot of veterans. Primarily veterans. Because, you know, that line again to me was great last night.
The fourth line?
Yeah.
I mean, they were awesome.
They had no hand in this. Maybe you should just play them more. Hines.
Play
huh?
the whole game.
Stop rolling lines. Just put those guys out there.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're not asking everyone to be perfect. Hockey is a game of mistakes. We hear that all the time. Things happen very fast. You make the wrong reads. And look, you do have to give Chicago credit. I mean, you got to execute on some of these plays. Even though he was left wide open in the slot, I mean, the shot by Kubalik, it's perfect. It's barred down. There's not a goaltender in the world stopping that shot right there. So it's a great shot. So they deserve credit for coming back and winning. But you can't just serve it up on a platter. That's what you have a problem with if you're a coach. Like, if they just take over in the last 10 minutes and they're wearing you down in the offensive zone and they're riding a hot streak at that moment and they're playing really well and they just beat you, I think you can live with that sometimes as a coach. It's when you serve things up on a platter and let a game get away that you have no business losing. That's what you worry about, I think, too, is if you're a Predators fan, is can that be the type of loss maybe that sticks with a team, that sticks with you into Friday? You give Chicago confidence coming into Friday. You're still down in the dumps by letting a point get away when you know the standings are as tight as they are. Like, it's on the Predators now to flush this. Like, I think in an 82 game season, there are times where, like, you could use a loss like this and make that could be a huge teaching point in, like, a film session or something like that. I think now, pretty good time to you point out the mistakes and then you flush it, because you got to move on from this if you're the Predators in a hurry coming up Friday. I mean, you can't you can't let this linger on coming in the game tomorrow.
Right. It's like the trade deadline. Well, we'll evaluate that after we see how this goes, how Granlund goes. Like Granlund last night, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Another example of, geez, guy is playing at a high level right now. And then this, the disaster level of this loss, that story will be told tomorrow night. If they bounce back and win, then look, maybe in the end it's a point, and then you can look at the point and say, man, they needed that point. They lost a point that they had in their pocket. But if they come out and beat Chicago tomorrow, then at least you know they responded well and they're back on track.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Terry texts in and says, Duchesne, 100%, talking about the blame.
Oh, it's, God, it's all him.
Yeah.
It's all Duchesne.
I mean, I think it's fair to point out on that fourth goal, I don't know what he and Holla were doing. I mean, they're just kind of drifting off there, but this was more than Matt Duchesne.
It was much more than, yeah. I mean, and that's possible that it was on him. I guess I would think that the guy centering the line would be the guy, in which case you could look at Holla on two of these three goals.
Yeah.
So, but it's Duchesne's line on there for two of them, so you can say that. But again, like there, that right there, that won't be the only fan who says that, because no. Duchesne is a very popular target right now.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Predators. Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking all things Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, for those of us who are kind of ready for a new GM and a new direction, what should we be hoping happens from here? I would say that ship has probably sailed at this point.
Yeah, I mean, when it was absolute low point, right? It was like, okay, what could happen here? You know, I mean, it's a different kind of situation when you have an ownership group versus an owner, and I think that the way this team has played has validated some of the choices David Poile has made. So I guess you could root for, like, a bunch of 7-0 losses in a row and get so bad that, you know, everyone gets fired. I mean, right now I think your hope of a new direction is, well, I mean, if you're a Preds fan, you hope that what you've seen in the last 20 games is sustainable and that some additions can get you back closer to the top of the league.
Well, and I think your hope for a new direction at one point was a teardown. And to Ben's point, I mean, there were a lot of chatter about David Poile and a lot of chatter about John Hines. That's gone away for the most part. I think the hope now is, all right, these young guys are coming in, and that's going to be the new direction. And it's been successful so far. Now, can you sustain that as they move forward? I mean, you get Ellie Tolvanen back in the lineup last night. He scores again. He immediately scores. I wish I'd have known that he was coming back. And Preds picked a click yesterday. I would have taken him. But
would you have really?
Yeah.
Did you have first choice?
No.
No.
I did. I took Arvidsson.
Yeah.
Would you have taken Arvidsson if you knew Tolvanen was coming back?
Yes.
Okay. So then you had second?
You had second.
You picked
Yarncroak. You were taking Yarncroak, so I would have got him.
I'm rolling with the croak.
Yeah.
Well, the first
Preds in overtime.
The first Preds goal last night when Tolvanen scored, Arvidsson on that wraparound.
Yeah.
Like, watching it live, I thought maybe it banked in off something and not Tolvanen's goal. I got a little excited, and then it wasn't Arvidsson's goal.
It was not.
It was, again, that was another example.
Great play.
Well, it was another example. You take Granlund, he's a dominant player. Yeah. Doesn't score a goal. Arvidsson, what a play. By the way, so we're focusing so much on Jared and it's over tweet, like a lot of people tweeted, but he does deserve way more shame for the reiterating the floor Forsberg. He copied you and me on that.
Yeah.
After the Tolvanen goal. Tolvanen's floor is Forsberg. He says that after that goal, which, again, like, that goal was completely created by the guy that you have underrated his entire career.
Yes.
But the floor is Forsberg. The floor is Forsberg for Tolvanen.
Tolvanen deserves credit. He went to the front of the net, and he just parked. That's what you got to do to score goals in this league. So he deserves credit for it. But yeah, Arvidsson made that play.
Tolvanen would laugh at the Flores Forsberg.
Maybe.
And then.
Oh, he'd laugh.
He brought it back to Clowney.
Yeah, he did do that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, and also, I'm going to write like a Jerry Stackhouse is the best column after he lost Dylan Dessou. Yeah.
Looking forward to that coming out.
He played
that coming
hits.
Out the Athletic.
Yeah, it's coming out today.
Okay, good.
Jared played the hits last night.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, Duchesne might want to blame Rexrode. During your interview with him yesterday talking the Preds' dominance over the Hawks, he told Joe to knock on wood, which I don't think Joe did.
You did, though.
I did.
So there was wood that was knocked on.
There you go. Where are you going to go from here?
I have no idea. Words can be a problem, can't they?
Well, especially when you've got a hyena in the other room that just starts laughing, yes.
Right. Like, I wouldn't even have thought twice about that, and then he's just howling in there. Well, Duchesne also yesterday, it's funny because I was close to tweeting this. So Duchesne is sitting there talking about how you hope to jump on the Blackhawks and that they're young, they have doubts and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it they get those two goals and it's like, gosh, kind of turned out exactly kinda like
right.
Duchesne said,
yeah.
Right? Well, there's another one. There's a lot of tweets and drafts that it's a good thing they stayed in the drafts.
Yeah. Can we talk about the Connor Murphy thing last night? I had somebody bring that up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Connor Murphy, first off, he's had some trouble keeping his helmet on the last couple of games for the Blackhawks. That's how the Predators got their fourth goal on Monday night. His helmet fell off, and he's just skating out of the zone. Last night, he gets his helmet taken off again by Yakov Trenin, and he's like skating around trying to put it back on. And he puts it on top of his head, and the strap is too big, and it's over his eyes. What was that movie that Sandra Bullock was in? Was it Bird Box, where you have to wear the blindfold the whole time?
Yeah.
That's what he looked like out there. And then, of course, that was the play where Josi to Granlund to Cunning. But, I mean, it helps when one of your defenders that you're going against is essentially blindfolded out there. That was something.
Bird Box. Good reference.
Connor Murphy had a bad time last night.
By the way, so I got someone telling us to on the whole tweet. So John Dietz, our friend John Dietz,
yep.
Daily Herald beat writer, long time coverage of the Blackhawks. Let me find this beautiful. I had it and then I lost it, of course. Predators score 4-1, game over. Season 2. I mean,
yeah.
Anybody. Yeah. I mean, it was over.
Look, if you watched that game last night. And how completely in control the Predators were in the last, 10 minutes of the second period, the first 10 minutes of the third. I'm one of those where I've seen a lot of things happen in hockey. So, I'll never discount the possibility that somebody's going to come back in a game. But there's not one second last night where I thought, okay, yeah, the Blackhawks are about to – there's about to be a surge here from the Blackhawks and they're going to tie this thing up. That never once entered my mind.
Again, 5-on-5 this year. All year, it has been just painful for them against the Predators. And I mean, they're not that good in general. But against the Preds, this matchup, whatever it is, like 5-on-5, they've been just miserable. So that was absolutely a bolt of lightning. I mean, I can't think of a better way. It's what it was. It was just bang, bang, bang. And it's just jarring to see the Preds make that many mistakes in a row. Like, that's the part, because you're right. The Blackhawks deserve credit. It's always like, it's always not enough credit for the opponent in the, in whatever market you're in. They deserve credit. They made plays. They finished the plays. But my gosh. I mean, they haven't had primo chances like that, like in some of these full games against the Preds, let alone in a span of 2 minutes and 51 seconds.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt text in. The positive side to last night was at least we got a point, and it may not be a bad thing that Chicago got two. This is going to come down to the last week, and Chicago is playing Dallas while we're playing Carolina in the last week. We need Chicago to have something to play for during that stretch.
That's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
Who was that?
That was Matt.
I don't have to ask you this. I have the app now.
You do.
Dangerous. Now, that's a good point by Matt. It's like this, we've talked about this week, about you want the top teams to be close and care about getting the one.
Or you want Carolina, by the time you go in those last two games, you're the Predators, to have wrapped up the one and to not care at all.
That's true, too. Yeah, you want that delicate balance of it being close, all the way to the end, and then, okay, you're good. But that's a good point. If Chicago is fighting still, and even just on the fringe of it, there's a better chance. Although I will say that I think in hockey, I probably would say in hockey as much as anything, you know, you can usually count on teams to give credible efforts no matter what for the integrity of the whole thing. So
I would agree.
But, you know, a little bit of desperation, a little bit of hope is not a bad thing.
Well, and, I mean, for the Blackhawks, you're talking about a game you had to have it last night. You got the Predators again tomorrow, and we all know about that. Next week, the schedule for the Blackhawks is Tampa Bay, Florida. Then you go Carolina three times, and then Dallas twice to end the season. So, I mean, you're talking about one more against Tampa, two more against Florida, three against Carolina, and two to end the season against Dallas, who at that point will have Tyler Seguin back.
Yeah.
That's a tough stretch.
Maybe you should let him win Friday.
Maybe so. Just keep winning.
At least give him a point.
That's the thing. And that's why, people were freaking out last night on Twitter about, you know, letting the Blackhawks come back and get a point when it went to overtime. And I was sitting there thinking the whole time, who cares? If they win this game in overtime or shootout, again, the last team you're concerned about, I mean, not the last team, but you're not as concerned about the Chicago Blackhawks right now as you are Dallas. I mean, that's just the simple fact of the matter if you're a Predators fan. So if you were able to squeak it out and get it done in overtime last night, yes, we would be talking today about the collapse and, Predators dodged a bullet last night, but it wouldn't really be that big a deal in the grand scheme of things because you would still get the points that you needed to get to try to stay ahead of Dallas as they continue here. So I wasn't as concerned about that. You just needed to finish it off in overtime where the Predators have been great this year, including against the Blackhawks in overtime and in shootouts, and they just couldn't get it done last night.
I'm sure the Red Wings will help out.
Look, I've said it all week. All they got to do is get one. Just get one in regulation against the Stars, then you feel a little bit better.
They had a chance. That first one.
I know. That was a good chance.
That first one.
They're back at home tonight, though.
That's true.
Going into Little Caesars. That's a tough place to play, as we know.
In the worst COVID state in the entire country, by the way.
Yeah. Do they have anybody? I don't think anybody's going to be in the building.
No.
At Little Caesars. And nobody was in the building last night in Chicago, either.
It was interesting because their fake crowd noise, They've clearly worked on it because a couple moments where it actually felt like a reaction to something,
a little timely.
Imagine if they did have fans. I think the fans made a difference for the Preds Monday.
But after the first goal, it took like 10 seconds for the goal horn to go off.
It did do that.
And for the fake crowd noise to react to the goal.
Yeah, it did do that.
By the way, that first goal, Yossi last night again was just wizard. But that was a gimme. I mean, that was a here you go. Here's a 2-on-1.
You don't see that happen to Roman Josi very often.
No.
So there were several uncharacteristic mistakes kind of mixed into a game last night where the Predators largely dominated for 50 minutes. So with that being said, how differently do Predators fans feel about the playoffs? How different do you feel about the big picture of the season after letting that point slip away last night? Now Dallas, three games in hand, only 2 points behind the Nashville Predators. We'll get into that to begin the 7 o'clock hour. John Hines coming up at 7:30 as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.